Good afternoon. I'd like to thank the organizers of this symposium very much for giving me the chance and honor to speak here to honor Rien. And I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors of this talk, my co-worker Jason Walton and my student Susmita Nambutiri. I'll be talking about spatial temporal soil water processes at the field scale. So it's quite a different topic on compared to what we heard this morning. We are all increasingly aware of the importance of the spatial and temporal behavior of field scale of soil moisture. And questions arise still, how does the spatial variability structure of field soil moisture change with magnitude of itself and with time? So there's still a lot of discussion and no clarity really of how to appropriately characterize the space-time field of water storage in field soils. So the objectives of this study were, one, to quantify the temporal change of the spatial covariance structure of field scale soil moisture, to identify causes for this temporal change, and finally, to use a combined space-time approach implemented into a Kalman filter to describe the dynamics in space and time in a joint fashion. The field that we were investigating is located in western Kentucky on a Crider silt loam. It's a farmer's field. And we measured soil water content with a capacitance probe down to 80 centimeter depth, divided up into 10 centimeter increments. And we measured at 45 profiles. And each of these profiles were separated by 10 meters from the previous one. And we measured this over 36 times in a period of about 1.5 years. And there were corn and wheat as crops in this field. What we did in terms of statistical analyses, we used semivariograms to characterize the spatial structure of variation and spectral analysis to describe the scale of variance, because we can describe any series as a combination of different waves. For calculating the temporal process of soil water storage at a point, we used for the upper boundary condition the evapotranspiration based on the FAO Penman-Monteith. And for the drainage, we used our deep soil water content measurements, so measurements at the two deeper layers, and then determined from that whether it was upward or downward and the rate. And we did that kind of in an efficient mode, effective mode, so right now only for as an average for all those 45 profiles. The description of the space-time field of soil moisture was done in the following way. That's comparable to the one approach of Denny Orr with Dr. Hanks, published in 92 in Water Resources Research. We described the process of soil water storage from one time to the next as a local water balance with precipitation, evapotranspiration, and drainage. And for the variance propagation, we use Taylor's provisional rule for error propagation. And whenever an observation becomes available in that time series at each of those profiles, the state and the variance are updated using the Kalman gain. For the spatial domain that we apply each time when a set of observation becomes available, we do a spatial smoothing or filtering of those temporal predictions. And in that vector of observations, we not only include storage, water storage, but we also include surface topography and average soil texture across that field soil. So that is, so to say, the spatial interpolation part of it. Here's to give you a brief impression on how these data looked like. I picked out the wettest and medium and driest spatial series along that field. And certainly we can say for the wettest point, there's not much variation going on. But for the medium and for the drier measured series here, we observe some similarities in the spatial distribution. We cannot clearly say, though, that the drier the soil is, the more pronounced is the spatial variation pattern. I also drew in this figure, in the bottom part, the spatial series of topography and of profile average soil clay content. What really astonished me was this behavior. I'd seen a lot of variance mean behaviors, and this one was pretty surprising. I would have expected a V shape, but one that is turned by 90 degrees, as wrote and we ourselves showed in field experiments. But in this case, we obviously have not a consistent behavior of variance. So for the same mean, we can either have a low or a large variance. And that is what I want to focus in later part of this presentation on. Here, I first want to show you the space-time field of soil water storage during, well, on the distance axis, we see those 450 meters along the field, and on the y-axis, we see the time period of 1.5 years. And we start in May of 2007 on this lower part of the figure, and then we move on. And we clearly see, in the back, you can see the relative crop growth of corn and wheat. We can see that somewhat the temporal variation of soil moisture is overlaying the spatial variation. In order to still get an image of what the spatial variation is, I used the relative difference calculation based on Vachot's approach. So I scaled all the observations for each time relative to the temporal mean, and the deviation from that is shown here, in order to find, is there any spatial, is a temporal stability in the spatial pattern. And we see that, but not in every case. So for the early period of the experiment and for the later period, when the patterns become more pronounced, we see clearly a spatial pattern, and that is strongly linked to surface topography. Here's a pattern for the change of the spatial covariance in time. So in the early phase of this experiment, we saw a well-pronounced spatial structure, which declined during the water refilling phase during the winter, and then in the next spring it developed again. So there's obviously a change in variability structure. So the optimum number of measurements to be taken in the field is not a constant, it changes with time. Here now a few graphs on the change of the mean and the temporal stability behavior. In the upper part, besides those green lines reflecting the crop growth, I also plot here the correlation of spatial distributions of soil water relative to the first observation time. So the first one is therefore a 1, and all the following are smaller than that, but wherever the correlation is high, we see a similar distribution pattern as at the first time of measurement. This indicates for some times a strong spatial stability, and for other times a week. And then I also used another time which was not very closely correlated to this first time. That was at this point in spring of the following year. And I also calculated all the correlation coefficients to those. And there were lower correlations to those that were more correlated to the first one. So we can at least divide this up into two categories of spatial patterns. In the middle part, I show the mean of the soil water storage in time, and I also show the variogram parameters, the sill and the nugget, and the sill would behave very similarly as the population variance, which I showed earlier in the other scatter diagram. So there's, for the early phase of the experiment, we can say there's a well-pronounced covariance structure, but it changes, and we cannot derive a fixed rule that with high mean we have a low variability, a badly defined variability structure, and with dry soil conditions, we have a well-defined variability structure. There's nothing like that in this case. I also show here the variogram ranges and the Nugget-Sill ratio, and again, there's no clear dependence of the Nugget-Sill ratio to average soil moisture. So what to do then with this behavior, and what we observed for the graph that I showed earlier, the upper part that shows the positive relationship between the mean and the variance, or the mean and the sill, and some other variogram parameters, all those were found for measurement times when the previous rainfall event was at least a few days ago, so on the average about 6 days, but in the range of 2 to 12 days ago. So with regardless how wet the soil is, if we wait a few days after the last rainfall and then take the measurement, we can pretty well identify an increasing variance and also a developing variogram structure. Whereas in the points that are within that blue oval, you can see the inverse relationship between mean and variance. And in this case, all those data points were taken when there were frequent rainfall events, so during winter and during a wet spring season. So very close to a rainfall event, taking measurements means that we may lack spatial, a clearly spatially defined covariance structure, which makes sense. The distribution of a rainfall into the soil is quite different than the redistribution and evaporation process of the soil. Here some power spectra for the topography and the clay content as an example. So it's everything defined by very long periodicities. And this is how the spectra of soil moisture distributions change over time. So again, in the very early phase of the experiment, we can see a pretty close same periodic scale behavior as with the topography, and also at the late phase of the experiment. In the mean phase, where variance gets small, it largely disappears. There's no clear periodic structure identifiable. Now for the space-time Kalman filter description. This is only for about the first half of the period of our experiment. You can see here the distinctive spatial description pattern, so space deviations are not as strong as the time deviations are. And in order to give you a first impression on the estimation uncertainty, here the difference between predictions and measurements is shown, only for those times when we actually had measurements. And this is done before the updating step in the filtering. So we do not carry on the error in the prediction, but each time a measurement becomes available, we update, and then we start from a smaller deviation again. So the average deviation was about plus or minus 2 centimeters, and that was the smaller, the shorter the time intervals for this were, for measurements were. So the conclusions I would like to draw here are that rainfall events and periods cause a decrease in the variance and less pronounced spatial variability. During drying periods, a large-scale variance structure develops, which is coherent with that of elevation and soil texture. And what we learn from the joint Kalman filter space-time description is that with respect to temporal state variance, field measurements should be taken, if possible, no longer than 10 days apart from each other. And the surface topography is extremely helpful for space-time estimation. So also, what I would like to add is if we calibrate sensors in the field, we should pay a lot of attention that we do not get too close to a recent rainfall event. We need to wait a few days in order to get a good calibration estimation, regardless of how high the average soil moisture content is in the field. So now, with that, I'd like to thank you, Reen, and I also got orders from my big boss, from Don and Joan in Davis, who really regret that they cannot be here for this symposium, and who asked me to tell you that on this special day, they think of you especially, so they are spiritually certainly among us, and each of you who knows Don and Joan will agree to that. And I want to add that when colleagues who are having such an impact on our discipline and on all of us, when colleagues like you retire, the world of soil physics is certainly not the same as it used to be. And you have influenced so many colleagues in such a positive way, colleagues and students. They all benefited from you, and you are definitely a leader in our discipline and has shown us the beauty of our profession. You have continuously stayed an excellent example of how to share, how important it is to interact and help others. And it is really a privilege to know you. And I can't say more than God bless you and Betty May and all your children in your future, and bless us with your continuing interaction and presence in our profession and at these meetings. Thank you very much, Reen. And thank you again.
Thank you very much.